Good morning, church. Welcome to Sunday school. Come on. Let's give God some praise this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Kevin Broom. I'm obviously not Pastor Nick. I'm about a third his size. But this morning, we welcome you to Bridge City Church. If you don't know, we are one church in four locations. We have North Braddock, Murraysville, Brighton Heights, and White Oak. I always want to say the best, but we're one church in one location. And if you were a part of last week's outdoor worship experience, let me just give it up for that. That was amazing. 750 plus people came out and worshiped God, and it was incredible. So if you're if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, we've been doing a series called Sunday School, where we're kind of going back and just reviewing a lot of the great stories of the Bible, like Noah and Esther and Daniel, which we've already done. And today is no different. We're going to dive into the story of David and Goliath, and we couldn't be more excited this morning to do that. So there are some rules to Sunday school. So John's going to put them up. Number one, be a good listener. Number two, follow directions. Number three, raise your hand to speak. Number four, be kind to others. Yeah, I did that. I was kind in the way I delivered that to you. Number five, do your best. And we're going to add one. Don't eat your snack until we say it's snack time. I know you're excited because you got a whole charcuterie board besides prosciutto this morning. You got your cheese and your wine and your crackers. We just missed the meat. But you're going to get the meat right now because we're going to bring the meat in the form of the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We couldn't be more excited for this. So we're going to jump right into David and Goliath this morning. And, you know, I love what Pastor Nick did there during worship and how he just felt the Spirit of God saying that there are battles in this room that can be won. They can be won today. They can be won in the name of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about that. I want to kick off with a story by a lady named Florence Chadwick. And Florence Chadwick was one of the first people, ladies, to ever swim across the English Channel. And in 1952, she decided she wanted to do something different. And she wanted to swim from Catalina Island in the Pacific Ocean to California, LA, which is about 26 miles. I don't know about you. I don't even want to drive 26 miles most days. I definitely don't want to swim it. So she gets in the water early in the morning, and she begins to swim. And as she's swimming, a dense fog sets in over the ocean. And she has a hard time navigating and seeing which direction she's going in. She keeps swimming, but she eventually just runs out of mental capacity to keep going. And her team pulls up beside her in the boat, and they pull her out of the water as she decides to stop swimming and not reach her goal. And the first thing that she says is that, I just couldn't see where I was going. There was a fog that I couldn't see through. I felt hopeless. You know, so many times we find ourselves in hopeless situations in life. Situations that seem so difficult, even insurmountable. We feel disoriented, disconnected, and discouraged. But church, I've seen so many times, I've done this in my own life, where we get so close to the victory, and we just don't grab hold of it. We don't finish. This morning, this story about David is all about finishing the battle. In Hebrews 10:39, it says, if we shrink back in fear, we will shrink back to destruction. If we allow ourselves to get three quarters of the way, half the way, or if we don't jump into the battle at all because we are scared, we're only going to face destruction in our own life. So this morning, we're going to talk about how to have courageous faith. How to have courageous faith in Christ. And to know, as Pastor Nick shared with us, that the battle's already won, and we just have to trust in Him. every one of us can defeat the giants in our lives by activating courageous faith in three ways. We can identify the real problem, we can engage the real problem, and we can have courageous faith to overcome the problem by the power of God. So let's jump in today's memory verse. It's probably the easiest one that we've done, so you have no excuse to leave this place and not be able to recite this. So I'm going to recite it first, and then we're going to recite it together. For the battle is the Lord's. That's 1 Samuel 17:17. So let's kick it off and do it together. Matt, would you lead us? Go for it.
For the
battle is the Lord's. You say it with confidence next time. Let's do it one more time. Say it.
For
the battle is the Lord's. 47. No, it is 47. I can't read. Maybe I need new glasses. Thank you so much. It's only the easiest one, and here I am getting the scripture verse right, wrong. But we face all kinds of giants in our lives, church. Fear, depression, anxiety, stress, health, finances. What would it look like if when we faced opposition in our lives, we treated it as if it were really, truly God's problem and not ours? You know, I had a friend many years ago. He was a contractor. And, you know, he did a lot of work on houses. And he asked me one day, he said, "Hey, I had a guy call off. I need some help. Would you be willing to come help me do some work?" And he was doing some trim work on a house. And he was doing all the detail work. I had no idea what he was doing. I was just there to hand him stuff and clean up his mess. And, he had this one corner piece that he couldn't get just right. And he nailed it together, and he stopped, and he stared, and he looked at it. It wasn't good. And he said, "Well, can't say it from my house." And I thought that was terrible, but I laughed in the moment. And it wasn't until years later that I had him come do some work at my own house where I was like, "Hey, man, like, just need to have a talk about the trim work that you do and how it's going to need to be a little bit better. We can't be leaving it just because you can't see it from my house or your house," right? Sometimes we can develop this arrogance where we think that our problems are not big enough to go after them. We ignore them. We shrug our shoulders and we think, "Man, this issue's not that big. I'm just going to kind of stick it away in the corner somewhere and just pretend that I don't see it." We ignore them. But what if we decided to view our problems with confidence, not arrogance, but confidence that our challenges were under control because we have a God who's in control? How do we do that? How do we face the giants in our lives and be victorious? So let's dive into 1 Samuel 17. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to kind of give you a little background on the first couple verses here. David had already been privately anointed to be the next king of Israel. But his dad had asked him to go back to the fields and tend the sheep. And around the same time, the Philistines had picked a fight in an area about 15 to 20 miles from Jerusalem in Judah. The Philistine army and Saul, the king of Israel at the time, and his army were faced off. You had two mountaintops. One army on one side, the Israelite army, and the Philistine army on the other side. And in the middle, you had this valley where the battle would take place. And in those days, it was common that the Philistine would send one soldier out, and they would call on the other army, the Israelite army, to send another soldier out, and those two would face off. And the two of them would face off, and whoever would win, the losing army, would then become slaves to the other, to the winner. And the guy that they sent to this battle was no normal man. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And just for a visual demonstration, we happen to have a spiritual giant in our lives, and a physical one. So I'm going to ask Pastor Nick to come up. It's Let's welcome him to the stage. So if this isn't obvious enough, this isn't even close to where, stay up there for me. Don't fall off the edge. I've done that. This is still not even a representation of how big Goliath was. There's about, I added about 18 inches. There's about 7 feet of difference here. Not difference, but he's about 7 feet tall. But Goliath was still 2 feet tall. He was not a normal man. He was a very big man. And David was about 14 years old. So I'm about the same size as David was. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Let me help you down. He was so big that the breastplate that he wore, his armor weighed 125 pounds. The spear that he carried, the head of the spear was 15 pounds. I don't know if you've ever tried to throw something that's 15 pounds with any accuracy or distance, but it's probably not easy. I haven't tried it. I can barely lift 15 pounds, much less throw it across a field and hit a target. Goliath was no ordinary man. And to think that the man who was to face him, if he lost, the entire army would then be the slave of the Philistines. Every day, Goliath would come out and he would shout and challenge Israel. He would harass them day in and day out, twice a day. And Saul, the king of Israel at the time, would hear David or Goliath yell at him and scream at him and demean him and sneer him. And instead of being the leader that he was called to be, he would turn in fear and tremble. It says in 17:11, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. What kind of leader was Saul? That when challenged, he would so quickly forget all the things that God had done for Israel. He was supposed to be king. He was terrified. And then comes David. David was the youngest of 8 children. And his 3 elder brothers were in the army. It was custom in that time that an Israelite man had to be at least 20 years old in order to fight. Only 3 of Jesse's sons were old enough to fight. David was the youngest. And like I said, was probably still a young teenager. But Jesse had asked him to go to the front line with food for his brothers and a gift for Saul. And when David got there, he heard Goliath taunting the Israelite army. For 40 days, Goliath taunted and yelled and demeaned and sneered at the Israelite army. And David had had enough. Verse 16 says, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. Now, just imagine yourself in this situation for a moment. You've been anointed to be the king of Israel. You're the next king. And your task is to watch the sheep and deliver the cheese. That's got to be pretty humbling. But David remained under authority and obedient to what his father had asked him to do. That's a lesson to each of us here. When we're asked to do something by Pastor Nick or your parents or somebody with honor in your life, we need to remain under authority and obedient to what we've been asked to do, because God is going to put you in the right place at the right time. David could have said, hey, I'm next in line to be king. There ain't no way I'm delivering cheese. My mind just goes to, it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. But he didn't deliver pizzas, he delivered cheese. I don't know why that just came out, but it's just what happens, who I am. All right, so it's snack time. Let's dive into some snacks. You guys hungry?
Yeah.
Rudy's ready for cheese. I hear her over there, like, really excited about cheese. This is a really big piece of cheese, and if I tried to eat this, you'd be watching me chew for 10 minutes and not deliver the word of God. So you eat your cheese, and I'll deliver, like I said, the spiritual meat. There you go, Pastor Nick. Right in the hands. You see that? So the way that we can win this battle, you know, and this is really where it gets good, right? Where the battle begins. You know, the Bible is a lot of fun. If you actually open it up and dive into it, it's really better than any movie that you could see. Like any, like, Jason Bourne movie, that's what came to mind, or The Matrix, or anything better than that. Like the Bible, the stories in the Bible are legit, and you should dive into them and read them. Let's dive into verse 20. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with gifts. As Jesse had directed him, he arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brother. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen this giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes." Who here could get behind some of that? David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is even allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" There are two responses we can have, church, to the giants in our lives. We can respond like the Israelite army did, and we can turn and we can flee in fear, and we can run away and we can hide our problems, or we can respond like David did. What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending the defiance of Israel? Who is he anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? How will we choose to respond to the taunting giants in our lives? Are we going to allow them to declare over us that we will never succeed, that we will never have joy, that we will live our entire lives in anxiety and depression and fear and stress and guilt and shame and never going to have enough and never going to be enough, never going to be healthy enough, never going to have the right car, never going to drive the right vehicle, never going to have the right house? Are we going to choose to live that way? Or are we going to choose to live the way that God instructed us to live, that our giant is much smaller than our God, and he is defying the living God, and that's not okay with us? It wasn't okay with David. He was mad that someone would be allowed to defy his God and God's army. And he remembered that the Lord, that the battle is the Lord. David could see with God's eyes. He could see the problem in a different way. When he got to the battlefield and he recognized that the giant was not only there, but that he was defying the living God, he recognized a problem. He identified a problem. Let me give you an example. I have a teenage daughter. Many of you are parents of teenagers, and you're very familiar with the fact that they tend to lose things from time to time. My daughter is an avid dancer. She loves to dance. She's been doing it for many, many years. And she got into point ballet last year and received point shoes. I hope I'm saying this all correctly. I have no idea what point shoes are. But at some point last year, she lost her point shoes, her ballet shoes. And she looked for days and days for these shoes. She couldn't find them. And she was starting to panic because dance class was coming up. And she didn't have her shoes that she had to wear. So finally, like a teenager does, after stalling and stalling and stalling, she said, "Mom, I need help. Can you help me find my dance shoes?" And so within about 15 minutes, Kim found the dance shoes that Ashlyn had been looking for days and days and days. And Ashlyn was frustrated, and she said, "How in the world did you find my dance shoes that I couldn't find for days and days?" And Kim's reply was epic. "Because we're looking for two different things," she said. "You were looking for dance shoes. I was looking for $150. Church, when we have the right mindset about the situation that we're in, when our perspective is different, when we can identify the things in our lives that are challenging us, we can identify our enemy. Then we're no longer left in a defensive position. We're in an offensive one. Who can stand in the way or oppose the God of heaven without punishment? Nobody. We need to get in that mindset, that way of thinking that the obstacles that are in our way are smaller than our God. Chuck Swindoll writes, "You see, if you tolerate a Goliath, he'll take over your territory. He'll move into your camp. He'll take your thoughts that normally ought to be on God, and he'll put them on himself. That's why you can't afford to even tolerate giants. You have to kill them quickly." The question we have to settle in our hearts is if we're going to be giant focused or God focused. Perspective is everything. All of us can defeat our giants by activating courageous faith in three ways. We can identify the problem, and then we can also engage the problem. What's it mean to engage the problem? There are always going to be those that doubt us, that say we're not enough. Haters gonna hate, as Pastor Nick just said. There's always going to be those in life that say we can't measure up. The difference in winning and losing is deciding to move forward and face your fears or turning away to flee. Which one are you going to choose? One of the things in my life that I was the least proud of, that God recently used to encourage and motivate me and some others around me, was my physical health. For 38 and a half years, I did not work out ever. In fact, to this day, I've still never set foot in a gym. I've never done the hardest workout you can do, and that's open the gym door. I actually, for a long time, on a previous vehicle, I had a bumper sticker that said 0.0. And for those runners in the room that have the 26.2 sticker on their car when they accomplish a marathon of 26.2 miles, mine said 0.0, I don't run, underneath it. I hadn't been taking care of my body and my health. But God really put it on my heart that I needed to do something different with His temple. And so at the end of May, the beginning of June, I started running. I started out with some normal shoes and then quickly realized I needed a pair of Hokas, which I had no idea what they even were until I actually put them on my feet and realized that this was the most comfortable thing that you could ever wear. This is not a Hoka commercial. This is a commercial for what God has done in my life. I ran a half a mile and almost died. But I stuck with it, and I invited some people to run alongside of me. And together we started running consistently, and every week we ran multiple times a week. And yesterday we had the opportunity to complete a 5K. Some of us, it was our first time. I know Brandon, who was up here leading worship, and I, it was our first 5K that we ever ran. That may not seem much to you, but it was a heck of a lot for me. But we accomplished that goal. And in the last 2 months, we've ran close to 70 miles. I picked up biking, and I've biked almost 300. I don't tell you that to brag on myself. I tell you that to say that when we decide that we're going to identify a problem and we engage that problem, and we go after it with other people around us in agreement, and we begin to tackle things together, and we know that the Lord is behind us in everything that we do, we begin to win. We begin to have victories in our life. Yesterday, I finished second place in my age group. I should clarify that there were only two of us in my age group. But it was second place nonetheless. Winning is winning. None of our giants will be defeated standing still. None of our giants will be defeated alone. None of our giants will be defeated when we isolate ourselves. Connection groups are about to kick off. That's an opportunity for you to lean in to other people, to be encouraged, to be able to fight your battles together. That's what this church does. That's what his church does. Trusting and having confidence that you are backed by the full force of the Almighty God. Through him and him alone, victory is won. Everything that you've done in life can be used to fulfill his will. All the things that you're ashamed of, that you're not proud of, can be turned around and can be used for his glory if you allow yourself to be willing and available. Let's look at what happened with David and how we can show you that everything that happened in his life was used for good. 17:32, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." Here's that doubt. "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from his mouth. Can anybody else here beat a lion or a bear with a club? If the animal turns on me, I will catch it by the jaw and club it to death." Come on, somebody. "I have done this to both lions and bears. I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead." That's the tone I imagine that Saul, "Okay, whatever, man. You got this. Whatever you say, go beat him. And may the Lord be with you." Are you kidding me? God had prepared David for this giant by beating lions and bears. Sometimes we forget the battles that we've been through, church. We forget the things that God has brought us through. Oftentimes, we don't recollect the things that he's done for us and the ways that he's delivered us and the battles that he's prepared us for. So when we get to the battle, we can name it, identify it, engage it, defeat it, and win the battle, overcome it because of what God's brought us through. Right. But David remembered. The battle that he was going to face was won already in private as he was prepared for victory. You have all been prepared for victory if you choose to be available and willing to be used by God. Verse 38, "Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like." Guys, this is like me putting on Pastor Nick's shirt in trying to run a race. I'm going to trip over my own shirt because it's going to be dragging the ground. David said, "This doesn't feel comfortable to me. I'm not used to them." So David took them off. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into the shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with a shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. How many know that when you run into giants, you're going to face opposition? When David set foot on that field, the opposition came at him. And Goliath stood in front of him and began to demean him. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You don't have enough battles under your belt. You've never fought anything. You can't beat me. You can't beat anyone. You probably couldn't beat my armor bearer. You can't beat anyone. You're going to lose today. But David didn't allow those thoughts to deter him. Goliath walked out towards David, verse 41, with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. Goliath then showed himself. You know, sometimes I just pray in situations that seem difficult. God, let the devil just show himself. Let me be able to identify him. And then through the training that you've provided to me, I know that we'll claim victory. Goliath stepped out from around his armor bearer, and there was an opening. Chance. Goliath was covered in armor. The only opening he had was a small window right here. Target this big. David replied to the Philistine in verse 45, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." And as Goliath moved closer to attack, David ran at him. Church, when you're faced with giants in your life, you've identified the problems, you begin to engage the enemy. You're on offense, not defense. You're not turning around and running with fear. You're running at your giants. You're running at your problems. You're going after them with the confidence that only God could give to you. Knowing that your battle has already been won. Knowing that your enemy is going to be delivered to you. That you're not even going to have to break a sweat. 1 Samuel 17:47. This is the Lord's battle. We win together. We win when we are united, when we choose to be united with Christ, when we choose to be united as his church, when we choose to be united with other brothers and sisters in Christ, that's when we win the battle. When we do life alone, that's when the enemy comes in and he steals. And he killed, and he destroyed. Do you realize that when the enemy attacks you, your family, or your church, it's the Lord's battle? We have to run after. We have to fight together. Verse 46, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." Excuse me. I almost said it like my southern accent, a little Georgia coming out. Together, we address these things that oppose God and his church with boldness, with courage, with faith. What issues are coming at you and your family that need to be defeated, that require courageous faith to step into? We can't ignore them, church. We have to identify the issue, the real issue. We have to engage the issue, the real problem, and we have to run at them. We identify it, we engage it, and then we overcome the problem by the power of God. Verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. But David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and then he used it to cut off his head. When the Philistines saw this, the Philistines saw that their champion was dead. They turned and ran. And just picture this scene with me, that David knocks the guy out with a stone, runs over to this giant, picks up a sword that's probably bigger than he is, and cuts the giant's head off, then grabs his head by the hair and pulls it up and holds it. You have to imagine that there was some kind of victory cheer at that point, that you can just see Mel Gibson running down the battlefield on a horse, screw freedom! You know, like, you have to see that that's what happened. And then the Israelite army ran on the valley and overcame the Philistine army as they ran with fear. What kind of moment was that? It's not by might nor power, but by the power of God that we win our battles. We are called to have victory through Him, through His church, through our brothers and sisters. What hopeless situation is too big for our God? There ain't one. If we think back to the story at the beginning about our friend Flo, swimming 26 miles, out in the open water, alone, feeling hopeless, feeling defeated, feeling shame. Church, how many know you don't just get in the water and swim 26 miles? You've trained and trained and prepared. Just like running a race, you get to this point where when you're running, you realize, your body realizes how far it's gone. You start to get used to, oh, this is a mile. This is 2 miles. You don't have to look down at your smartwatch and it tell you. You know where you're at. She knew how far she had gone. But she allowed doubt and fear to creep into her mind. She didn't identify her problem. She did not engage her enemy. She said, this is too much. I can't do it. Pull me out of the water. And they came alongside her in the boat and they pulled her out. And that's when they dropped the most heartbreaking news of all. And they said, Flo, do you realize how close you were? You were 300 yards from the finish line. Church, we have to finish our battles. We have to overcome them. We have to allow ourselves to continue forward and not turn back. We have to allow ourselves to run the race that He's called us on. We cannot turn around and run in fear. Listen, I'm getting emotional because I know that there are giants in this room. There are battles that you're fighting in this room, and you're allowing yourself to have fear and doubt and stress and worry and strife, and you're saying, my giant's too big, I can't beat him on my own. But you're not allowing God, who's brought you through previous battles, to say, you are enough for this battle. You are enough to win. I trust you. I believe in you. I have faith in you. Just like David, as a child at 14 years old, had faith to jump onto a battlefield when men standing behind him were too afraid to go. Church, we have to believe that God is enough, that He has done enough, that He is enough, that He will be enough. We cannot allow ourselves to get stuck, to isolate ourselves, to throw those battles in the corner and say, they're not important. We have to trust. We have to identify. We have to engage. We have to overcome. You will be taunted. But just like David, you've got to be able to squash the fear that comes, that rises up inside of you. You've got to be able to squash the doubt that says, I'm not good enough. I can't help but think of Linda and Dave. I've never experienced loss like Tyler, but I can't help but think about the faith that you had to stand up here on the day of his funeral and say, we're going to use this moment to glorify God. We're going to lead people into a relationship with Jesus. And do you know there was at least one man that I know of that accepted Jesus that day? Instead of appeasing the 99, we ran after the one. Church, that's what this story is about. This story is all about realizing that God's enough, having enough faith to jump in with both feet and say, I trust you, I believe in you, I know you can deliver me, I know you go before me, I know you make my path straight. David cut off the head of Goliath. He didn't just leave it there. He carried it with him back to Jerusalem, where he put it on a stake on a hill called Golgotha. That means the place of the skull. He put it on the stake so that all of Jerusalem would be able to see the victory that God had that day. That they could remember what God had done and that they would not forget the battles that he had won. 1,000 years later, on that same hill, God would give his son. He sent Jesus to die for you and for me so that we didn't have to spend our eternity in hell, that we would have a way to enter the kingdom of heaven and spend eternity with him. And he left that place as a mark, as a semblance to say, this is what I've done for you. You get the choice. You get to accept the free gift that God has for you. I wouldn't be doing my due diligence here if I didn't ask you if you have a moment in time where you've accepted Jesus into your heart, where you've said, he's the forgiver of my past and the leader of my future. Church, I'm just going to ask that every head be bowed in this moment. If that's you today, I encourage you, don't turn around in fear. Don't turn around with doubt or shame or be afraid. Stand up in faith and run towards the battle and lift your hand and say, I want what he can only give today. I want a relationship with Jesus so that I know that my victory has already been won. I want that time and that place and that date that I can turn to and I can look to and say, this is the moment that my battle was won. If that's you today, this is your opportunity. We'll have somebody come pray with you. Jesus, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that each and every person here today has a relationship with you, God. That they have a date and a time where they can say, he's my victor. My battle is not big enough. My giant is not big enough, but my God is big enough. Jesus, I just pray that each and every person today would grab hold of their battles. They would identify them. They would say, I'm going to engage them. They would run at them full steam ahead, and they would say, I'm going to overcome this. by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to have victory in the name of the Lord. You will not defy the living God. Jesus, thank you for doing what you did for us on the cross. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, providing a way where we could have eternal life with you, God. Thank you for winning the battle. In the name of Jesus, I pray.